after the baptism last Sunday, I went back to my passage, regretfully thinking I forgot to read this, and read through it again. And as we prepared for the special music, which we'd already kind of picked out, it occurred to me how this man, traveling from Jerusalem to Ethiopia, back to Ethiopia, how he needed the Lord. And we will see, as we read from the text, that he'd traveled a great distance simply to worship the Lord, even though he didn't appear to know a great deal about him. Evan shared with me the other day that he was teaching a Sunday school class, and the passage about Abraham being asked to sacrifice Isaac came up, and most of the kids had no idea of that story. I find myself from time to time saying something like this. I'm sure you're all familiar with the passage that, and last week especially, for some reason, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Probably there are people who are not familiar with the passages that I often refer to. And, I know that there's a lot of people that have no idea what I'm talking about when I say things like the donkey that spoke to Balaam, or the fleece that Gideon put out, or Daniel in the lion's den, or even, Jonah and the great fish. When I was camp director a few years back, we talked about how many campers have never heard what we consider to be the familiar stories. So we geared our Bible studies at camp around stories that most people know, but that maybe young people today haven't been exposed to. And I wonder where the blame lies for that. Parents, I encourage you, find a good children's book, grandparents, a children's Bible book, and read them these stories. And I don't like to use the word story because that's like reading Little Red Riding Hood or something. I don't mean that. But read these passages, read these accounts of the well-known passages so that the kids are familiar with them. But once again, it's not just the parents' fault by any means. I think the fault lies somewhere in the church as well. I want to plug the things once again that we provide here. Right after this service at 9:30, we have Sunday school for all ages. I have lists, all kinds of lists, and on my list of members of this church who are still, involved in the church, I have a list of 40 names of kids who are in high school and below. 40. Who are members. That's not just the ones who come. That's people who are members, who have been saved, been baptized. There are Sundays when between the elementary wing here and the youth wing, we only have half a dozen people come out of 40. And again, we have some people come who are not members. And don't get me started on the adults who don't come, So that's a whole other story. So parents don't get all the blame, but church, what are we doing to promote people learning more about the one that I presume you are here to worship? Well, we're out of classroom space, and we've talked about a lot about that. We have two classes that meet either here in the sanctuary or one out there on the couches, and granted, the couches are very comfortable, but that was not intended to be a classroom. And I don't know if you know this or not, but a lot of people start arriving for the 10:45 service at about 10 o'clock, and it's difficult to have a class out there when there are people out there visiting. I've had people tell me they don't feel comfortable having class in here because all they see is the back of the heads and that kind of thing. So I'm just telling you, there are things that we could do to encourage people to learn more about the Lord. There are things that parents could do to learn more about the Lord. But the whole point is, people need the Lord. They need the Lord. We're going to be looking today at a passage that tells about a man who traveled a great distance to find the Lord, but then he needed help in understanding what he had learned. And we're going to be in Acts chapter 8. It'll be verses 26 through 35. I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand as we read from God's word. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, Philip was one of the original 12 disciples of Christ. He doesn't have his own book in the Bible, but he's mentioned several different times in the four Gospels and in the book of Acts. This passage, however, is probably the one for which Philip is best known. Here in chapter 8, Philip preached the gospel and saw many come to Christ before this happened. But in today's passage, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and told him to head south to Gaza. Now, this is one of those rare situations in Scripture when an angel appears to someone and it doesn't mention anything about fear. You know, almost every time that an angel appeared, they said, the first thing the angel said was, don't be afraid, like he did to the shepherds or like he did to Mary and so many others, but not here. And Philip is told to head approximately 50 miles away. And that's one of the things that we don't notice when it says he was here and it says go on down to Gaza. It was quite a distance away. And he's not told why or who it is that he's supposed to go see. He's just told to go. Reminds me of Genesis chapter 12, which some of you may be familiar with. But in that chapter, Abraham is living in what is now the country of Iraq, and God speaks to him and says, I want you to get up and go, take your family with you, and go to a land I will show you. He didn't tell him where he was going. He didn't tell him why he was going, and yet Abraham got up and went. He was obedient. Now, I don't know. In my life, I like to know where I'm headed. I like to know what the next turn is going to be and that kind of stuff. But in this situation and in Philip's situation, he was just told, go. Didn't tell him why, and he went. Verse 27, so he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of Ethiopia today. More than likely, you think of those commercials where it's about feed the children and it's about starving children and things like that. Well, that's not the image that Ethiopia had at that time. Ethiopia was a country of great power, a very powerful nation at that time. And I won't assume ever that you know these things, but a eunuch was a castrated male so that he wouldn't be a threat to the queen. The king could trust this man with his queen. Despite this, he was a man of great authority and great trust, and he'd come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, that's an indication that he had some working knowledge of Scripture, of God. The greatest testimony of his desire to seek the Lord is this. It was somewhere between 1,100 and 1,500 miles from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. And I did one of those little searches where I figured out what's 1,500 miles from here? Seattle. It would be like hopping on a chariot and taking off for Seattle. It was a big deal to go all the way to where he went. So very many people won't get up on a Sunday or drive across town to worship the Lord. But this man went the equivalent of a trip to Seattle by chariot. One of the most important parts of verse 27 is simply this. So he arose and went, talking about Philip. He never questioned the purpose or even who it was that he was supposed to see. He just went. God doesn't always tell us what the next step is going to be. Oh, that I would have that kind of obedience to go when I'm told to go, where I'm told to go, never questioning, God, how am I going to get this worked into my busy schedule? Just going. It makes me, I guess, covetous of that kind of faith, and we can have that kind of faith. True faith is just going, even if you don't know where you're going. Verse 28, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. People who need the Lord, which truly is everyone, but people who recognize their need for the Lord will seek out avenues to find him. And I want to make sure you hear this, that you may be one of the avenues that they've sought out. You may be the one who can take them where it is that they need to go. And so this particular person sought out an avenue to know the Lord better, and he went to the seat of worship of the Lord, which was Jerusalem. And obviously that wasn't enough for him because he still didn't know what he wanted to know, but he had curiosity. The seed was planted. And I want to say this again. I've said it many times, but the coming to church is a wonderful thing, and I'm glad you're all here. And the church itself, the body itself, is always glad to have you here. But making an appearance in this spot at this time is not enough. Even a 1,500-mile journey is not enough, just making an appearance. And the Ethiopian recognized that. So even as he traveled back to his homeland, he was studying God's word. That's one of the keys, is to get into God's word and to study it. But even that wasn't enough for him because he needed some help. Verses 29 and 30. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Well, once again, Philip was obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Overtaking a horse-drawn chariot on foot, he heard words that he recognized from God's word. And the first thing here I want to challenge you with is, how many of us, hearing him read those words that Chris read to you earlier, that I read again as we went through the passage, how many of you would recognize, that's from Isaiah? I hope that you would. I hope you would at least recognize it's from God's word. But Philip knew not only that it was from Scripture, but that it was from the book of Isaiah. And he said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" We're going through the book of Isaiah on Wednesday night. We are getting ready for chapter 7 out of 66 chapters. So there's a lot left. And it just happens that I'm reading through Isaiah in my daily Bible reading right now as well. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of times when I get through reading a couple of chapters out of Isaiah, I think, I don't know what that was about. I don't understand. I need some help. And there's all kinds of avenues that we have today for help, mostly online for me a lot of times. I just look it up and see what the commentators say. But there's other people that we can talk to. Philip recognized God's word when he heard it. And that's so important. And how did he know it? Because he'd studied it himself. Because he'd spent time in God's word. The Ethiopian then says in verse 31, How can I understand unless someone guides me? So not only did he travel hundreds of miles to worship God, not only did he then seek to study further, but now he recognizes he needs help in understanding. I had a young lady several years ago that got saved and was baptized and came to church for a time. After she'd been here a while, she told me one day, she says, "I don't understand anything that you say from up there." And it kind of broke my heart because I want you to leave here with some degree of understanding. And I just encouraged her to take part in Sunday school, to take part in a new believer's class, different things like that. But here's the key, folks. You seek out someone to help you understand, but you got to do some work too. I help Isaac with his math homework probably for about another year, and then it's going to be over me what he's doing. But and he wants to know the answer, not the process. And I think we're all guilty of that sometimes. We want to just know what's the answer to my question, but you don't seek out getting involved in the process of finding out how to get there. And I just really pray that for each one of us here today, we would make a commitment to study God's word and to do some of the work. Seek out help when you need it, but you got to work too. Philip was sent by the Holy Spirit to be a mentor to this particular man, and I'll get more into why in just a minute, but it occurs to me, we have lots of you here in this church who may not feel like you know very much about the Bible. I'll guarantee you, you probably know more than a new believer. A mentor, Philip, came alongside the Ethiopian to help him. And one of the things that I know that we're guilty of in Emmanuel Baptist Church is welcoming someone into the fellowship, baptizing them if necessary, just welcome them into the fellowship, otherwise if they're members or if they're saved already. But then we just leave them hanging. And that's my fault as much as anybody's, but I need your help. And there's so many times when we have new believers that need a Philip to run up along beside him and say, can I help you understand? And that's something that any of us could do. I just really encourage you to think and pray about that as well. Is it going to take an angel of the Lord coming down and saying to you, go to this particular spot? I think the Lord is talking to you anyway. Go. How can they understand unless someone guides them? Now, the place in Isaiah that the Ethiopian was reading was the scripture passage that Chris read earlier. And as the Ethiopian read this, he didn't understand who Isaiah was talking about. And that's understandable because Isaiah wrote hundreds of years before Jesus came along. But still, Philip had this advantage over you and me as a mentor because he had been an eyewitness to Jesus Christ. He had been an eyewitness to the one about whom that passage was written. He saw Jesus led as a sheep to the slaughter. He saw that Jesus remained silent during the accusations, and he saw Jesus' life taken from the earth. But you and I have advantages today that Philip didn't have. We have the entirety of God's word. We have access to all kinds of helps that none of them had back then. But Philip carried on. Verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture that was read, he preached Jesus to him. Now, some of the commentators that I read from about this verse said that opened his mouth can be translated as he began to give a prepared, set discourse or lecture about Jesus, kind of like having a prepared message. No commentator backed up what I'm about to say, but I believe it. The Holy Spirit led Philip to this place. The Holy Spirit led Philip to overtake his chariot. Jesus said himself in Luke 12, verse 12, that the Holy Spirit will tell you what you must say when the time comes. And I can testify to that. So I believe that when Philip opened his mouth, the Holy Spirit spoke through him. The Holy Spirit provided him with the words he needed to teach the Ethiopian. And hear this, he will provide the words that you need to mentor somebody, to teach somebody, to encourage somebody. The Holy Spirit will do that for each one of us if we will just overtake the chariots that we're told to overtake. If we go to the deserts that we're told to go to, if we open our mouths and let the Spirit speak. Philip opened the scriptures and he let God, the Holy Spirit, do the work. Now the rest of the passage here is familiar again because I often use it at the time of a baptism. As they traveled along after he was taught scripture, the Ethiopian saw some water and said, "What's to keep me from being baptized?" And Philip, led by the Spirit yet again, said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He didn't say, once you've understood everything in Scripture, then you can be baptized. And he didn't say, once you've taken a 12-week course in how to be a church member, you can be baptized. He said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And that's one of the reasons why I always use that passage up here, is because it's not a matter of being perfected. It's not a matter of getting your sins washed away. It's a matter of believing with all your heart. So why this particular man? Why this Ethiopian eunuch? Why was he so important that God sent an angel to guarantee that Philip would go to him? And the general consensus that I read is that this Ethiopian then, who was an important person back home, went back home, shared with people his new knowledge, his new faith, and as a result brought the truth of Christ to an entirely different part of the world. This man was uniquely qualified to carry the gospel to a particular people. If you believe in Jesus with all your heart, why do you think he chose you? Because you, each and every one of you, are uniquely qualified to go to a particular people and carry the gospel. That's our job. In verse 40, which isn't part of the text for today necessarily, but after all this took place, Philip was suddenly transported to a city about 20 miles away, and the indication was that he was miraculously transported. Not that he decided to walk to this place. It said the Spirit caught him away, picked him up and put him somewhere else. Miraculous. Just a brief lesson in Scripture. Just a moment in time was given to the Ethiopian. And in verse 39, we're told that he went on his way rejoicing in his newfound salvation. He needed the Lord. People need the Lord. And how are they going to hear unless someone preaches? How will they understand unless someone is sent? And may I add this, if no one is sent to you, seek someone out. The Ethiopian made a round trip of between 2,000 and 3,000 miles seeking the Lord. How far are you willing to go? Both to know him, to learn more about him, to share with others. We got to be willing to go where God calls us, even if we don't know where or why, because people need the Lord. My prayer, as always, at the end of a message is just this. If you are someone here who needs the Lord, have never accepted the Lord, don't put it off. Don't wait another day. If you are somebody who has known the Lord for decades or years or even months, know this, you are uniquely qualified to share with someone else. That's why he called us. And I pray that we get about that business. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this passage, which is so familiar to me at least, and I know many others because we use it a lot. But I just thank you, Lord, for all the things that we see here. We see obedience. We see need. We see provision, Lord. Philip was obedient, the Ethiopian had a need, and you, through the Holy Spirit, provided the words. Lord, I just pray that we would all have the kind of faith and trust that it takes to just get up and go when you tell us to go, to share when you tell us to share, and to trust you, Lord, to provide in all things. If there be one here today, Lord, that needs to know you as the Ethiopian did, I just pray, Lord, that they would choose this day to believe with all their heart. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.